July 8th, 2024. This is the Committee on Education. Again, I want to thank everybody for being here and thank folks for being concerned about this important issue. And we're ready to get started. I know that the hour has come and a quorum of the committee is present. Mr. Clerk, can you please call the roll of members who are here in order to determine the quorum?
Councilmember Ahmad. Councilmember Gauthier?
Present.
Councilmember Phillips?
Present.
Councilmember Chair Thomas?
Present.
Thank you, Chair. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Throughout the course of today, we'll hear a lot of comments and public testimony. There will be other members that will be joining us pretty soon. And when they come, we want to kind of give them the liberty to be able to put any comments on the record that they feel is important based on today's conversation and today's hearing. A quorum of the committee is present and the hearing is now called to order. This is the public hearing of the Committee on Education regarding resolution number 240601. Mr. Clerk, will you please read the title of the resolution?
Resolution number 240601, authorizing the Committee on Education to hold hearings to examine the sudden closing of the University of the Arts, UArts. The impact this sudden closing will have on the Philadelphia higher education system, and most importantly, the negative impacts on the current student body and staff and alumni.
Thank you. Does any members of the committee wish to make comments before we get started? Hearing none, Mr. Clerk, will you please call the first witness that we have to testify on resolution number 240601.
Yes, can we please have Deborah Carrera and Val Gay?
Good morning, Chair Thomas and members of the Education Committee. I'm Dr. Deborah Carrera, Chief Education Officer of the City of Philadelphia. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on resolution 240601, which authorizes the Committee of Education to hold hearings to examine the sudden closure of the University of the Arts. I am here today to express my deep concern and disappointment regarding the sudden and unexpected closure of the University of the Arts of Philadelphia. The University of the Arts has been a cornerstone of our city's cultural and educational landscape. For years, it has nurtured and developed the talents of countless students, providing them with the skills and opportunities to pursue their passions in the arts. It has been a place where creativity flourished, young artists found their voice, and a vibrant community came together to celebrate the richness of artistic expression. However, the abrupt decision to close the university without prior notice or consultation with the city, students, faculty, and staff left many in shock and uncertainty. This action disrupted not only the lives of students who invested time, effort, and resources into their education, but also the faculty and impacted staff who have dedicated themselves to fostering the next generation of artists. The lack of transparency and communication surrounding this decision was deeply troubling. As city officials, we should have been informed and involved in the decision that would have profound implications for our city's cultural and educational fabric. The sudden closure raised many questions. What led to this decision and why was it made without warning? What provisions were made for the students without a place to continue their studies? How will faculty and staff be supported during this transition? And what would happen to the university's facilities and resources? After learning of this closure and understanding the tremendous impact on students and families across the city, the mayor set out to ensure that the governor's office and all Philadelphia elected officials, including those like Councilmember Squilla, Representative Ben Roxman, and Senator Hughes, who are receiving direct outreach from families, will share information and work together. On Sunday, June 2nd, Mayor Sherelle Parker convened various stakeholders to attend a virtual meeting with the University of the Arts President, Dr. Carrie Walk, and the Chair of the University of the Arts Board of Trustees, Justin A. Aaron. In attendance were lobbying firm Bellevue Strategies and federal, state, and local government officials. During the call, Dr. Walk informed those in attendance that the university would be closing its doors on Friday, June 7th. Dr. Walk shared that the university could not operate as an institution for financial reasons. The University of the Arts informed the Middle State Commission on Higher Education Coalition, and the university lost its accreditation. Dr. Walk shared a town hall for students and staff was scheduled for Monday, June 3rd. Mayor Parker requested from the university representatives the following: a timeline sequence of events, a plan for students, faculty, and staff, a timeline for a teach-out plan, information about the endowment, the plan concerning the multiple facilities. She had clear goals to ensure students had a place to continue their studies, preferably in Philadelphia, to ensure that staff were paid and contractual obligations met, and to ensure that all students had access to transcripts and personal property. On Monday, June 3rd, the University of the Arts canceled the town hall meeting. On Monday, June 3rd, the Mayor's Office and the Mayor's Office of Education met with Bellevue Strategies, the lobbying firm for the University of the Arts, to follow up on the Mayor's request. The Mayor's Office asked for audited financial statements, 3 years of budget, and Fitch bond rating report. Our intent was to understand what precipitated this sudden action and to determine the college's current financial status. On Tuesday, June 4th, the Mayor's Office of Education was made aware of Dr. Walk's resignation. We also learned that the University of the Arts Board brought in a national higher education consulting firm to manage the transition and wind down process. On Wednesday, June 5th, the Mayor's Office of Education met with representatives from Alvarez and Marcel. Janelle Beaver shared that she would focus on people, students, and staff, and Jim Grady would focus on finances. The Mayor's Office of Education emphasized the urgency of communicating with students and employees. The team gave no answers about the causes of the closure and promised a plan and regular communication with the Mayor's Office and other stakeholders. On Wednesday, June 5th, city officials organized a meeting with Alvarez and Marcel to specifically discuss the University of the Arts financial condition. Attendees included Finance Director Rob DeBoe, the Governor's Office, Appropriations staff of the House and Senate, City Council, and other local officials. During the meeting, representatives from Alvarez and Marcel were not forthcoming about the college's actions. They focused on what lay ahead, the school closure, and ensuring students transition to schools as identified in the teach-out plan. The university provided Fitch's bond rating report, 3 years of budget, and audited financial statements. On Thursday, June 6th, a representative from Bellevue Strategies notified the mayor of Bellevue's resignation from the University of the Arts. On Friday, June 7th, the University of the Arts closed. On Monday, June 10th, a call center went live to support the University of the Arts students. Alvarez and Marcel informed the Mayor's Office of Education that Joe Hill from Cozen O'Connor would provide technical support to the city. On Friday, June 14th, the Middle State Commission on Higher Education had a virtual town hall meeting with students and their families. Representatives from the Pennsylvania Department of Education and FIA were also in attendance. The Middle State's representatives made clear they were not aware of the closure prior to the announcement and that decertification was not the cause of the school's closure. During the event, many students expressed frustration and disappointment with how the university failed to communicate any problems and neglected to have any transition period to allow an orderly wind down. Students also shared their disbelief that the university decided to close without engaging students or their families. The Middle States Commission on Higher Education shared the teach-out agreements with Moore, Drexel, Temple, Montclair State College in New Jersey, Point Park and New School University in New York, and Arcadia University. The Middle Schools Commission on Higher Education worked on additional teach-out plan agreements with Hartman College, Five Towns, Rowan University, and Alfred University. They indicated other transfer opportunities from over 40 institutions who didn't have an agreement at that time. On Monday, June 17th, the Pennsylvania House Majority Policy Committee held a policy hearing on the University of the Arts June 7th closure. On Tuesday, June 18th, University of the Arts held its first town hall meeting. The Mayor's Office of Education conversed daily with Joe Hill from Cozen O'Connor on support for students needing additional credits for graduation, call center data, housing for students living on campus, and employees. During the week of June 10th, the university posted an informational website, uarts.zendesk.com, a frequently asked questions document with information on transcripts and diplomas, tuition reimbursement, transferring to other institutions, and campus and electronic system access. Throughout these check-ins, no further information was provided on what caused the closure of the University of the Arts. On Friday, July 19th, University of the Arts declared bankruptcy. Since the closure of University of the Arts, myself, I've been in communication with Joe Hill from Cozen O'Connor. The impact of this closure extends beyond the immediate university community. The University of the Arts has been a cultural hub, hosting events, exhibitions, and performances enriching our city. Its sudden absence leaves a void in Philadelphia's cultural landscape, affecting not only the students and staff, but also the broader community that benefits from the university's contributions. Thank you.
Good morning, members of the committee, Chair Thomas, his absence. I'm Val Gay, Chief Cultural Officer of Philadelphia and leader of Creative Philadelphia, formerly called the Office of Arts, Culture, and the Creative Economy. I'm pleased that Mural Arts is now part of our portfolio, fostering new collaborations. As the first Chief Cultural Officer to sit on the Mayor's Cabinet, I am committed to integrating arts and culture into our city's growth and prosperity as we all work toward making Philly the safest, cleanest, greenest, biggest city in the country. I am also an alumna of the University of the Arts, where I earned a Bachelor of Music in Voice Performance. Speaking on behalf of Mayor Sherrell Parker at UArts' 146th commencement on May 16, 2024, I was moved by President Kerry Wong's announcement of a historic partnership with Mural Arts and her assurance to young creatives about their future careers. This was music to my ears, as one of my chief goals is to work hard to eradicate the starving artist narrative in Philadelphia. Her words continue to reverberate in my ears, and no doubt in the ears of the other 2,000 plus people present to hear her that day, which is for me just one of the reasons the unprecedented closing of UArts has had a devastating emotional as well as financial impact on the community, faculty, staff, students, and associated businesses. I've heard from many distressed individuals, including recent graduates questioning their degree's value, and current students struggling to rebuild their futures. Former faculty and staff are facing unexpected job losses, and many in the arts and culture sector are offering support where they can, hiring buskers on the streets, performers at events, design and other digital services, and more. Sadly, it is not enough. UArts' sudden closure has left a chasm in our community. This crisis highlights our sector's fragility and the urgent need for dedicated funding. I look forward to working together to strengthen our infrastructure and prevent such losses in the future. Thank you, Councilman Scola, for inviting me to speak at this hearing, and I look forward to answering the committee's questions.
Thank you for your testimony. I want to note for the record that we've been joined by Councilmember Lozada, Councilmember Brooks, as well as the sponsor of the bill, Councilmember Swood. I do want to take a moment to allow the sponsor of the bill to give any remarks or ask any questions that he may have for the administration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank all our colleagues for being here on this summer day to have this important hearing. When everybody first heard of the closure of University Arts, it was a shock. And I think the part of the problem is that it was a shock. Nobody knew it was coming. And so there's so many questions that are left out there, and I really appreciate the administration and the mayor's office stepping up and the Office of Education to try to work through the challenges that were presented to us under nothing that we had done, but understanding the challenges of the students of the University of the Arts, the staff of the University of the Arts, the alumni from the University of the Arts, the businesses, the avenue of the arts, and what it means to our city to have that cultural hub on the avenue of the arts, the vibrancy that it brings to our South Broad Street corridor with the students that are there, that are living in the area, that are frequenting our stores and businesses, and what it means to us. So when we look at this thing, it is actually even bigger than, you know, just the closing of a school. And it means so much to the city of Philadelphia, and the administration has been really, really helpful in trying to understand what happened, but also being helpful in where do we go from here? How do we try to fix this? What are our goals in the future? And everything that we've done, we heard, you know, from the school district, we heard from some of the other partners who have been accepting some of the students and what their challenges are, trying to make sure that people who pay tuition would keep the same tuition rates as they go and transfer. And there's going to be the district attorney's office, Susan Butler, right? There's going to be, there is an investigation ongoing in this, and there's, I'm sure at, over time, we're going to find out what happened and why it happened. But I think the goal right now is to make sure we don't make it worse, right? That, you know, nobody's unilaterally going to be able to sell properties and do things without oversight, and the attorney general has assured us that there are certain guidelines that they have to follow. But also, how do we then still continue to keep that as a cultural hub, whether it's a merger with another university or whatever it was? My question to the administration is, because you guys have been great on this, as we progress through those, if there is an eventual merger, if these schools are eventually, if this school is eventually still intact so people could use these as facilities, or maybe merge with another university, and they have to change hands, you can't do this, but would you be able to bring this back to the administration and say, if there were challenges, if there was transfer of properties, can we as a city help and offset maybe a transfer tax or something else that would go along with that so that we can do whatever we need to do to make sure anything that comes up in the future, we are there to help?
So I think Bob will come up because he can definitely speak to that question that you're asking.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's a full hands on deck type timing where we
we need to make sure that this great cultural hub and institution that we had, if it had to close, can still stay alive. And, you know, what it means for the people, the alumni who had degrees from University of Arts, right? What does it mean for students who had applied and now transferred to other schools? These are all things that we're not going to be able to answer today in this hearing, but it's good to know that the administration is still very much engaged in this process, has been engaged since the start, has led the meetings, and we were on several meetings with the administration and before the president resigned. And, you know, asking all those hard questions, why, and, you know, what happened. But I think the goal right now is, where do we go from here? Right? How do we make sure that we try to sustain what we had in the best possible way, whatever that may be, and look for answers, look for suggestions, look for ways, if it is a merger, that you still can keep these hubs available and active, and do the best we can as a city to proactively engage that. And then as the investigations play out and what happened or why that happened in such short time without anybody knowing, you know, that we're not getting that answer today either, but, you know, that will come through and probably a longer process, but we got to make sure we protect the students, the staff, and the alumni, and everybody associated with that challenge. So if you're willing to have those conversations, it would be great to continue those talks with the other universities who are interested. And, you know, there's a lot of other things associated with it. There's people have to be made whole, right? Staffing has to be made whole. All those things have to happen. And we just want to make sure, and I know that from all the concerns and complaints I receive, people want to make sure that we are watching, we are a part of that, right? And people aren't going to willy-nilly just try to sell a facet to do something without anybody overseeing that. So I think if people can hear, yes, the city is still actively involved, obviously we don't have control of private property, but working with the Attorney General's office and others, if they can hear those things, I think it gives a little more confidence that they're not going to do additional damage from the damage that was already done.
And we definitely are still involved and want to stay involved. We agree with everything you said about the importance of the institution and making sure that it comes to work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilmember. Chair recognizes Councilmember Ahmad.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Good morning, everyone. Just picking up what my colleague, Councilmember Scola, just said about understanding what exactly happened and how there were no eyes on it. So I don't know if you're the right panel to explain this, but was there any ex officio participation on the board of UArts from the city or the state? Do you know that? So that's one. And the second piece is, where are all the board members? They were all there watching this happen. So have they, I don't know, I know there's a legal arm to this, the state attorney general and our district attorney. I just want to make sure that those are the questions, the accountability and the transparency that needs to happen. That's why we have a board, right? So where are they, who are they, and did we, meaning government, have any representation there, and this didn't happen overnight. Something happened, right? And we need to get the bottom of it. So we can't go forward if we don't know what happened, and to, you know, avoid what's going to happen in the future. So just wanted to know if you have any insight on that.
Yes, thank you, Councilmember Ahmad. So we found out when everyone else found out. We were made aware when everyone was made aware.
So there's no board participation?
There was a board president.
No, from the city or state government, there was no board member. Who, so, you know, for example, we have other institutions where we have from the city, somebody on the board. I'm on the...
Oh, was there someone from the city on the board? No.
No, that's... So this is one of the things I would love to look at to see. We are board members as ex officios of many institutions in our city, whether we own it or even if we don't, right? So, for example, the Franklin Institute. I'm on the board of that. So I'm at the board meeting, I'm following what's happening. We get the report, so that would have given us anything. So I would like, going forward, to see all our major institutions should have participation from us. This happened with the whole monument closing. We need to be proactive, and all of us, not just the administration, council as well, to see what are the assets in our city and how are we safeguarding them. This is an asset in our city, and this has been a huge impact to our young people who have been giving our city a future-looking perspective. This is how we globalize our city. It's critical that we watch our assets. And so that would be something going forward that we should do an analysis of all institutions in our city, not just UARTs, for future issues to see how much engagement do we have and how are we following their fiduciary path as well as the other issues that impact us. Thank you.
Say that we are on many of the agricultural assets, the boards, as types of issues. And so I myself sit on several of them. Well, I haven't done this meeting started, but to your point, I think that having an audit of everything to see what's missing, and perhaps if an audit had been done previously, we would have seen that perhaps there was something missing, but this is a great opportunity for us to take a step back, look at the entire slate, and see what needs to be, who needs to be on which board.
Yeah, I mean, and this is not just for our creative economic space.
Agreed.
This is
yes.
For all our spaces to see, and this is a wake-up call for us.
Agreed.
So, yeah, thank you for that, and I think a oversight analysis, doing an audit, and then putting people in the right places would at least not have us in this darkness about what happened, right? But I would not let those board members off the hook. They need to be accountable, and I don't know if they are. I just don't know that information. But we should not just say just because the president resigned, there's no other access to this information. Somebody knows something. So I think we need to be a bit of a dog on the bone on this and support and ensure our law enforcement are on what's doing. We need to keep us apprised as well as keeping our community who's been impacted apprised of what's going on. So thank you very much.
Before I recognize Councilmember Phillips, I just wanted to note for the record that we have six panels scheduled to testify here today with over 20 people that we really want to hear from, and we want to be respectful of folks' time. So I'm going to ask members of the committee to kind of limit some of our questions and comments so we can make sure that we hear from every single person who actually got here earlier today to testify, to communicate their concerns, and also to offer solutions. Chair recognizes Councilmember Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman Thomas. I will respect the agree in terms of limiting our comments. I was thinking along the lines of Councilwoman Nina Ahmad this entire time. What I was going to add to the conversation was slightly different than what she was saying, but I'm in total agreement. It's the idea that does the city currently have frequent meetings to understand the financial state of its universities and colleges? Is that in place currently? Okay. So this is not. And I think that given the state of higher education, not to say something, what was done in the past wasn't, but given the state of higher education today where we see tons of closures, one of the new innovative things that we can do is begin to have more frequent meetings with our universities and colleges to kind of have a better understanding of where they are financially and other things that are going on at that particular school and those schools, because as the administration has pointed out, this was the lack of transparency and communication was troubling, right? And I think that for us to avoid that going into the future of our city, we have to find ways to begin to have better transparency. So hopefully that can be one of the resolutions that come.
Councilmember Phillips, I think that Councilmember, I agree with everything that our colleagues were saying, and I just want to add to the fact that if, when these institutions close, this is wage tax revenue that we're not collecting as well too, and we all seen our 5-year projections, and we know we need every dollar that's possible. Are there any other questions for members of this committee for this particular panel? Hearing none, I want to say thank you all for being here. Thank you for your due diligence as it relates to this issue, and we appreciate the continued effort. Mr. Clerk, will you please call the next panel to come testify today?
Yes, I would like to apologize ahead of time in case I butcher anyone's names. Can we please have David Benjamin DeCristofaro, David Timothy, and Frank Matchell?
Good morning. Please start by stating your name for the record, and then you may begin with your testimony. For the members of this particular panel, will allow you to provide your testimony consecutively, and then after that, we'll open it up for questions for members of the committee. You may begin.
David DeCristofaro, co-chair of the University of the Arts Alumni Council and University of the Arts Joint Committee.
David Timming, I'm a graduate of the University of the Arts in 1798. I'm currently a professor in Doyle Central, Maine.
If it's okay, unfortunately my time here is short, but I'm honored to be back here, and I'd like to share a statement just on behalf of the Joint Committee. First of all, thank you, Council, for having us, and thank you, Councilman Scullo, for facilitating this conversation. I just flew here on a red eye and came right here from the airport. So if it looks like I'm a guide for getting over mountains, perhaps in a way that I am, it's doing that that got me to yours in the first place, in many ways. Honored to be back here, and yours means a lot to us, obviously, and to Philadelphia. It's an understatement, right? And you'd be hard-pressed to find a more passionate group in Philly than our arts community. It's basically them and Eagles fans, right? Go Birds. While at the arts, I got to go to Capitol Hill with the Recording Academy and advocate for changes in copyright law and music that got passed, that changed the way that copyrights approach in music all across the nation forever. I got to lead meetings while I was still a student with members of Congress here locally at their offices. Last time I was here in these chambers, it was to receive a citation of recognition from the city for my work on the creative economy and initiatives with City Councilman David O. while I was still a student. My first job while I was a student was right outside of Dilworth Park when they opened after the remodel. Working with Center City District, coordinating their summer concert series Live at Lunch. At UArts, I was a founding member of our student government, Students for Creative Action. That's what we're doing now. We're taking creative action and trying to find solutions. Could I have done all that at Temple and Drexel? They're fine institutions, maybe a little bit. But what I can tell you is that with the small class sizes, the dedicated staff, education, and mentorship that UArts provided, that taught and shaped me into the person that could reach those heights and that was capable of doing those things, and their willingness to take a chance on me, I couldn't have found that anywhere else. The strength of dedicated development for students looking to hone their crafts and disciplines to their potential provides a model for how UArts could live on in the future. Last time Val Gay and I spoke, we gave the alumni addresses at the university's commencement ceremonies for graduation. A few weeks before that, I held my little sister's hand for the last time while she struggled to breathe for an hour and a half and lost her to cancer. A few weeks after that, my university that I love, that made all those things possible for me and that's impacted my life every day in the years since graduation, suddenly closed to this crisis. Sometimes injustice happens, and sometimes things happen that are beyond our control. As big as this feels to us, there's bigger things in life and bigger things happening in the world. This just happens to also be something that's a big deal to us. And I hope sharing why puts that into perspective, just like those bigger things in life and in the world puts things into perspective for us too. What we've chosen to do about it is respond as best we can. It's a sensitive situation with a lot of moving parts, especially for those who are employed by a university that now doesn't have the money to pay them, right? And where restitution is now driving liquidation. This is a very intrepid situation. We've moved quickly to form a joint committee right away between our co-chairs from the Alumni Council and our chair from the Family and Student Council, David Schoner. And we've been info gathering, learning, and streamlining communications with city and state offices. We've learned that the suddenness of this didn't allow for the advance warning we all would want. But there are answers to some of the questions that I think by this time we deserve. And I say that without any entitlement, nothing but humility and gratitude for everything that Yards has provided me with, and the city of Philadelphia. We're in the process of collecting notes from the experts and those with insights in our Yards Network and Collaborative Circle that we've been consulting with and talking to, that I'll be submitting in a report to Councilman Swilla, to your council, as well as to the offices of Representative Waxman, Senator Sobel, and the Attorney General, who we've all been in touch with and hope to aid in whatever process might help us learn the answers to those questions. We've also learned that solutions for reopening are, generally speaking, when we get into more detail, but a form of merger acquisition by an accredited institution would be overhead to overcome whatever this mystery deficit would be, speaking hypotheticals now, or a new iteration of the school that could be reopened with new accreditation in several years' time. Still, outstanding questions remain, and that's problematic to say the least, and it's caused a lot of stress and strain and pain in our community. Those are pretty straightforward. We know what they are, but what is this mystery $50 million deficit that's so bad that they had to close our school and still haven't been able to tell us what it is? That's the big one, right? Why weren't the records and resources requested by Middle States Commission provided to them by the accreditation loss deadline? A school should have those on hand, right? And a few days is a good lead time to be able to gather and submit those. These are just healthy questions that we feel we could use some healthy answers to. Why did a few board members gather to vote to follow through with the closure? They're not required to vote on something like that. They can, but you know, they're not required to. Why did nobody explore these other options and work together with the people available to explore that? Again, going back to what's this mystery deficit that was so insurmountable that they didn't choose to go those routes. Help us understand. That's our appeal to the folks involved. Just help us understand. Tell us how we can help. Those are some of the questions we're hoping will be answered in this process. No one wins in a blame game. Our goals are answers and solutions, and yes, accountability and oversight for those that are currently managing URs. Right now, there is none. Fortunately, we've had folks like Representative Waxman that have been very proactive, Middle States Commission, who has done something that I'm pretty sure no office like that has ever done in history, in terms of walking through this process to make sure that our students were taken care of. Cannot express the gratitude to Councilman Scola, to them, the different offices that have offered to help and have gotten involved. To our community, please reach out and join us in the pursuit of these solutions. Anything that will help, any information that will help. If you just want to help, please reach out and join us. This is the ultimate UArts group project. Let's save our school. Thank you, and thank you for having me. No objection. We're in capable hands. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for your opportunity to speak with you about my experiences as a UArts recruit, student, and alumnus. My full testimony has been submitted for the record, and I'll be presenting a short version, so I'm going to talk fast. I'm easy to reach outside of this session. My sister attended UArts a year ahead of me, and because of that, I visited campus and the dorm several times. I met other students and attended events. I knew this was the place for me, Broad Street, the vibrancy of the city, and a school filled with individuals as committed to their art and craft as I was. I only applied to one university.
and I was accepted. Imagine me, a 17-year-old kid from Delco, being accepted to my dream school for both undergraduate and graduate study. That was 35 years ago. While at UArts, I got what I call the full experience. I lived in the Furness dorms, where I made lifelong friends. I lived on Rodman Street, where I rented from a notorious known slumlord, just like everybody else. I ate Paul's Pizza and had the best turkey burgers at H.A. Winston's. I drank gallons of coffee at the last drop. I made friends with Fergie and McGlinchey's, and as far as I know, my picture's still on the wall at Locust Rendezvous from some strange, lonely New Year's Eve with my housemates. I found the joy of playing music for dance, and I regularly played Group Motion at the improv sessions in Philly and later toured with into Arizona. My ensemble premiered works by well-known avant-garde composers. My band played Dobbs, Kyra Pass, Revival, and even in the Great Hall at UArts. I spoke on a panel at the Philadelphia Music Conference. I was the opening act for Mikey Wilde and The Mess. All experiences that reinforced that I found my place. I volunteered in an after-school program down on 16th and Bainbridge, helping kids with their homework and their literacy skills. And I wanted to be a teacher since first grade when I met Ms. Berman. That's a story, a separate story about the influence one person can make. I completed my practicum at Durham Elementary, which no longer exists, Kappa, and many other mainstays of the school district. I did my student teaching at University City High School, and that was that experience that spurred my commitment to staying here. I worked at Tower Records, Classical Annex, and I worked for the Welcome Mat right when it became the Philadelphia Weekly. And after graduation, I took a job at Girard College, where I worked for 15 years as a music teacher, and then later transitioned to being a learning specialist. Since 2014, I've been the chair of education at Delaware Valley University, where I'm a full professor with tenure. I've spent a lifetime in education, and I have a clear perspective from which to speak to you today. But what I want you to understand, first and foremost, and maybe most importantly, is that I moved to Philly from Delco in August of 1990, and I never left. A first-generation college student. The son of a hairdresser and a shipyard electrician. Some of you can probably calculate the economic and social impact of that move, and I'm just one of those people. Every excuse that's been provided by the University of the Arts, exclusively through their representatives, is not nearly enough in part or whole to warrant the closure of the university. Enrollment, rising costs, asset and debt management, the upward creep of the discount rate, these are common problems. Nothing new or remarkable. These are issues that you and I deal with on a regular basis, but none of us came to work today to throw in the towel. It's part of the job we do, and we do it because we're committed to the success of those around us and those who depend on us. This is exactly why talking about fees and some criminality at UArts continues to surface as a void of actionable information. The former president and board of the university demonstrated how little they understand and the diminutive beliefs they hold about the arts when they assume that shutting down this institution was a simple administrative decision. You cannot close the arts. Council members, this isn't a closure and it's abandonment, a cowardly dereliction of duty, a neglectful and disrespectful disregard for its own history and for the city that has always loved it back. The incompetence at the cabinet level and the cowardice at the board level have failed to satisfy the key requirements of their positions. Protect the mission, and protect the financial viability of the institution. It's shameful to consider that not a single individual is willing to take a stand for the university and its constituents then, but we're here to take that stand now. I echo the sentiments of one of your own council members who urged us to stop speaking about the University of the Arts in the past tense. This institution is still open, but while we are here conducting a premature autopsy, opportunists are picking at the bones and scheming on how they can profit in this convoluted situation. For tuition-dependent institutions like UArts, time is of the essence. The longer it remains shuttered, the more pressing these issues become. I request that in the interest of time, we focus on what's most important, current and future students of the University of the Arts. Let us set aside investigations and blame for the moment in order to focus on opening the doors and planning for the next class to enter those halls, dorms, and studios. I would like to recommend the appointment of an interim board and an interim leadership panel who can return to those offices and start solving the problems of the institution. Give us the keys so that competent and inspired problem solvers may take the opportunity to make this right. The city deserves it.
the citizens deserve, and students past, present, and future deserve. Let us get on with the good work of reopening UArts and getting this deserving institution on its feet. There's plenty of work to do, and guess what? We have lots of help. And I thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions from members of this committee for this particular panel? Hearing that, thank you for your recommendations, thank you for your experience, and thank you for taking time to share that all with us today. Very much appreciated. Mr. Clerk, will you please call the next panel to come testify before us today?
Can we please have Zoe Hollander, Bryn Smith, Brittany Mallon, and Tony Aquiline?
Good morning. Please start by stating your name for the record. Also, I know that there are folks who never testified in City Council before. It's pretty easy. It's like riding a bike. The only thing that I would ask is that you make sure that you speak into the mic, because there are several of you, and we need to make sure that everybody on our tech team can hear everything that you're saying. So make sure you speak into the mic so we can hear you as you testify. You may state your name and give us your testimony. We'll allow all of you to testify consecutively. Then we'll open it up to the committee for questions.
My name is Bryn Smith.
My name is Zoe Hollander.
Hello, I'm Zoe Hollander, and I was a rising senior musical theater major at the Columbia University of York. Thank you for having me here today. In March of 2021, I was in Philadelphia with my family for the very first time. At the time, I was a senior in high school and 99% certain that the University of the Arts is where I wanted to spend my next 4 years. However, I had never been to Philadelphia before, as I was born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I figured it was probably a good idea to visit the city that I planned to pursue my higher education in. When I visited UArts with my family that year, the university was completely virtual due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and none of the buildings were open to the public. So the best I could do was walk up and down Broad Street and take pictures of the outside of the buildings and do my best to peer in and catch a glimpse of what could be inside. About 4 weeks ago, in July of 2024, I returned to Philadelphia after a brief visit home and found myself in an oddly parallel experience. Once again, I found myself walking down Broad Street, looking at the outside of the buildings, unable to enter and doing my best to see what could be inside. The difference now, however, was that unlike 3 years ago, I knew what was inside, and further, who should have been inside. By now, I think it's quite clear that the abrupt closure of the University of the Arts has had devastating effects on so many lives in so many ways. From a student perspective, particularly one of a rising senior, it's hard to put into words just how big of a loss this is. The added fact that this is now the second time myself and many of my peers have lost a senior year, the first being due to the COVID-19 pandemic, is almost like extra salt in the wound. However, whereas the COVID-19 pandemic was completely unpredicted and unavoidable, the closure of UArts could have been, if not avoided, handled with much more care and respect for the community. The fact that I, like many of my peers and professors, learned about the closure through social media and group chats is frankly unforgivable. The day the news broke, my mind immediately went to my wonderful teachers and mentors, all of whom are brilliant artists that I deeply admire, and all I could feel was anger and deep sadness at the way they had been disrespected. It's now been a little over 2 months since the University of the Arts closed, and there are still many questions that remain unanswered. In the practical sense, I still am not 100% certain what this next year will look like for me. I have decided to complete my degree at Temple University, and I'm very grateful for the warmth, openness, and transparency in which they received me and many of my peers. And truthfully, the communication from Temple regarding the UArts transfer process has been worlds beyond that of the UArts administration. However, it has not been, as UArts promised in many of their early communications, a, quote, seamless transition. Because I was not in Philadelphia when UArts closed, I was unable to attend any in-person events or orientations meant to help with the transfer process. And while there were some virtual events and minor communications from the university, for about a month, I felt largely in the dark. And even now that I've been back for about a month, I am still experiencing difficulties, largely with financial aid. I have had 4 virtual meetings and sent well over 20 emails to the financial aid office at Temple University because my merit-based scholarships and grants that I was receiving from UArts do not seem to be transferred correctly to Temple, and I'm currently on track to take out more in loans to attend Temple than I've ever had to at New Arts, even though Temple tuition and fees cost approximately $19,000 less than New Arts. And I don't fault Temple Financial Aid for this, because everyone that I've spoken with has genuinely been trying to help, but rather my frustration lies with the University of the Arts, because it seems that some important information is missing that has resulted in this process being dragged out, adding more stress to an already stressful situation. Not quite what I would call a, quote, seamless transition. I am moving forward now because I have to, but that doesn't mean I forget what's been lost. I have plans for my senior year. I was cast in what was going to be the fall main stage musical. I have planned performances for the improv comedy troupe I founded during my sophomore year. And I had plans to produce my own musical review with friends and mentors. I was going to go to London and study at the Globe Theatre on the winter short travel course. An opportunity that the brilliant faculty in the Brain School of Theatre Arts worked on for years to establish for their students. I was going to prepare for and perform my senior showcase, my introduction to the professional theatre industry, under the tutelage of my trusted professors and mentors. And it's true that potential opportunities and connections may lie ahead, but that doesn't take away from those that have been lost. Truthfully, the fact that the arts community has lost so much while still not knowing what exactly happened is hard for me to stomach. It is hard to truly find closure when those responsible for this situation have seemingly faced no accountability or consequences. Instead, we find ourselves having to pick up the pieces of their mess, all while not even truly knowing how we got here. Money does not just disappear, and information does not just cease to exist. And to claim so is a slap in the face to all of the artists that made this university what it was. Artists are everywhere. They're on your TV screen, in your favorite comfort show, in your Spotify playlist you play on the way to work, the stories you read to your children, the logos of your favorite sports team. Take a look around and you'll see something that's been created by an artist. Art is important, and devaluing it in favor of profit sets an example that we are disposable. If anything, the past few months have shown just how resilient this community of artists truly is. The arts community has been through a lot this summer. There isn't a magic button to press and fix it all and make it all better, but I think the least we deserve is true answers as to how this happened. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Bryn Smith, and I was also going to be a senior musical theater major, and I had a minor in music at New Orleans. I was going into my last semester of school with just 15 credits left to finish both my major and minor. I was on track to graduate early into 7 semesters instead of 8. And I would love to share with you that I have fully prepared my plan for my senior year, and I know exactly what it's going to look like. But that would be a lie. I have spent this entire summer sending and receiving, feels like hundreds of emails to different people involved with different programs and schools. Finally, as of Tuesday, I am starting to finalize my plan for the fall, which begins in less than a month. But that had nothing to do with help from New Arts or the seamless transition they failed to give us. I was given an incredible opportunity to spend my fall semester studying acting in London at the British American Drama Academy, and then I will come back to Philadelphia in the spring to take my remaining couple of classes and receive my BFA at Temple University. This was only now made possible because of the unimaginable amount of kindness and generosity that I have received from administration at Sarah Lawrence College, BADA, and Temple University. They felt that after everything I had been through at York's, they wanted to make sure that I had a plan to finish my education that I could be excited about. The reason this plan took the entire summer to work through is because of the failed promise by York's to help relocate us to new universities. Due to a lack of information, schools like Temple are just now receiving and being able to process financial information from New Arts. And I didn't know how my scholarships and financial aid would transfer over, which was the final piece of my puzzle. And it is by no means the fault of any of the people and programs I have been in communication with. Because New Arts gave no warning to anyone, including the schools that are now a part of the teach-out program, these schools could not prepare for the influx of students and information they were going to be communicating with and taking in. The people I have emailed and spoken with at all of these programs have been working harder on behalf of New Arts students than anything our board and president did. All departments are working as hard as they can to figure out things for us, but they simply couldn't prepare the resources necessary to admit and add so many students to their programs before our closure. The process of researching schools, reaching out to programs, submitting applications, and figuring out my plan this time around is so much harder than it was when I was a senior in high school. I can confidently say this is going to be the most stressful summer of my entire life. Additionally, it feels like a much bigger and more difficult decision because I know wherever I end up will be where my degree is ultimately from. When I committed to UArts, I knew that if it wasn't the place for me, I would have the option to transfer and find a school that would be my fit. Now, I do not have that luxury. I am so close to being done that I won't have a chance to transfer, no matter if it's my fit or not. Wherever I go from here will be the school named on my Bachelor of Fine Arts. I committed to UArts based on a gut feeling that it was where I was supposed to be. I had never seen the school or been to Philadelphia prior to move-in day. But I knew where I was supposed to end up. And it was probably the biggest risk I've ever taken. But it was worth it. If I could go back in time to being a senior in high school, choosing where I could go to college, even now, I wouldn't change a thing. 3 years I got to spend at UArts were the most incredible years, and I have never felt such a sense of belonging as I did at UArts. And that had nothing to do with the institution itself. It was the people that were magic. The incredible people I got to work with, professors I got to learn from, friends I made, and the art I got to see and be a part of. That was the UArts I loved. That's what made this whole experience so much harder. But in the words of J.J. Milne and Winnie the Pooh, how lucky am I to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard. But now, even if some miracle happened and UArts reopened right now with a new board and president, I don't think I'd go back. I could not confidently put my trust or money in an institution that has treated me and the people I love so terribly. I've never felt more disrespected than I did when the board canceled our promised town hall meeting 10 minutes before its scheduled start. That was the moment I realized that it was never about the art or any of the people for those running our school. To them, it was about the money they could get from us. And honestly, I could never forgive them for just throwing away every incredible member of the faculty and staff like they were disposable. The professors I had at UArts are artists I look up to and admire, and it disgusts me that there are people who would treat them like they meant nothing at all. They are what make UArts worth going to. More than I was worried about what I would do next, I was worried for my professors who had established their lives, careers, and families in Philadelphia, and who had lost their jobs completely out of the blue. I hope now that us students are finally getting settled and ready to attend our new university, that the same openness, kindness, and help will be extended to the amazing staff and faculty in UArts to help them find their new paths. When we found out about the UArts closure, I was in Disney World. I was at the happiest place on earth, shaking and in tears, talking to my mom, because all of the plans I had for my future had been stripped away from me. I'm a planner. I don't do anything without having a thoroughly thought through plan first. I had already set my goals for what I wanted to accomplish in my last semester at UArts and how that would prepare me for the real world. But the scariest part of all of this, and the thing that I kept repeating to my mom, was I don't know what I'm going to do. At the final community rally on June 7th, I was standing at Hamilton Hall, listening to the speeches being given, feeling a sense of community, and I was waiting for movers to arrive to move me to my new apartment closer to the University of the Arts that no longer existed. There was some sort of poetic cruelty about that. I had packed up my entire life into boxes to move closer to a university that didn't exist anymore. We watched the people in charge fail us time and time again, and we deserve better. My professors deserve better. We have a right to know what happened to the millions of dollars they receive from us students every single semester. Life continues to go on, and we all have to keep moving forward to new jobs, new schools, and new versions of our lives. But we can't stop demanding answers. After everything we have been through at the hands and mismanagement of UArts, we have the right to know what happened and to hopefully hold people responsible for their actions. And I know we will all be okay, we will persevere and find new places to land, but I'm not excited about it. I moved to Philadelphia specifically to go to UArts, and now I'm just hoping I found the right school to attend in a few weeks. I'm being resilient, not because I want to be, but because I have been left with no other choice. Thank you.
My name is Brittany Mallon, and I was a rising senior illustration major and a print media minor at the University of the Arts. Some of you may have seen a few of my sketches that documented the first court hearing of yours, Closure in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Before I continue, I just want to thank the United Academics of Philadelphia Union for giving me the opportunity to share my part of this disaster. I unfortunately saw some of the signs that something wasn't right throughout this past year. Between UART selling buildings, shutting down programs, and combining programs, something just wasn't sitting right with me. But I thought that they would hold out for one more year. The immediate closure of UART caused my future to no longer be a straight path. I was forced to find a university that has an illustration program equal to or better than UART's in about 3 weeks. Very few schools even offer illustration programs, and even fewer have really good printmaking facilities. So that left me with very few options and a very short amount of time to decide where I wanted to transfer to complete my degree. I also happened to renew my lease for my apartment on May 1st. So while it would be easier for me to stay in Philadelphia to complete my degree, since I already have my apartment, I have decided to transfer to the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan because I feel that they are a better fit for me and will provide me with the opportunities, resources, and facilities I need to complete my senior year and become a successful artist. This means that I'll have to move back into my parents' house, even while I'm still paying for my apartment for the rest of the year, because breaking my lease is the same price as splitting it with my roommate for the rest of our lease. I was also left unemployed with the closure of the arts. At the end of the spring semester, I had accepted two teaching assistant jobs for UARTS' summer pre-college program in July, one for a screen printing class and one for a character design class. I had decided to accept these jobs despite the little money it paid, with the intention of getting professional experience and the potential of getting hired back after I graduated next year to teach the screen printing pre-college class. I was also supposed to continue my work study job as a print shop monitor in July as well. Between having to continue to pay for my apartment and not working a majority of the summer, I'm going to be struggling to pay my student loans throughout my senior year. Leaving Philadelphia also means that I will have to leave behind all the friends and the connections with faculty members and the communities that I've spent the last 3 years making behind and start over completely at a new school. I'm scared that I won't get the same opportunities my senior year as a transfer student. So much of an artist's success relies on the connections that they make, specifically in school. And I, unfortunately, will no longer have those connections at the school I'm transferring to. This past semester, I also had the opportunity to work with Mark Touche and Daniel Fischel to design a mural for the University of the Arts new school store. Over 4 months, I worked tirelessly on creating a mural that represents the creative community of the arts. I was supposed to complete this project over the summer, but now I will never see the light of day, and I will never be compensated for the work that I completed. Participating in art marks run by the Traditional Media Club at UArts are some of the best memories I have there. I would share a table with my best friend Cass, and we would go hang out and sell our work together. I was supposed to be president of this club next year, and now that won't happen either. I was excited to start my thesis and to be a part of the annual ELI thesis exhibition next year. I was looking forward to continuing to work with amazing faculty such as Kevin Mercer, John Reinberg, Ralph Gary, and Dana Hertzberg. The teachers are truly what made UArts an amazing place and worth achieving a higher education despite the price tag. Their guidance, advice, and resources are invaluable, and my heart immediately went out to the faculty when I found out that UArts was closing its doors. Philadelphia has a rich history of art, and is a community filled with artists and patrons of the art, and is full of inspiration. The University of the Arts is one of the first schools to have an illustration program. The loss of the arts not only directly impacts the illustration community, but contributes to the loss of a creative community where artists across all fields can come together and collaborate. The avenue of the arts is dwindling and affects America as a whole, since Philadelphia is one of the main hubs for the arts. With the closing of PAFA, DCAD, and UArts, institutions where young aspiring artists can go to learn and hone their craft are disappearing, slowly pushing the arts out of creative communities such as Philadelphia. The University of the Arts community needs to and deserves to know what has happened. Why did they close so immediately without any notice? The students and the faculty should not be the ones paying the price for the Board of Trustees' mistakes and lack of communication. We need answers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you all so much for your testimony. Sorry to hear what you experienced, especially listening to the senior year experience, both in high school as well as the collegiate level. It's heart-wrenching, but we also appreciate you for making yourself vulnerable, because at the end of the day, I know folks think that we know everything that's going on. We really don't. We only know what you tell us. And to be able to put a face to some of the stories that we read and heard about really weighs heavily on us and puts us in a position to be able to advocate for some of the things that you recommended today. So thank you for your testimony. Chair recognizes Councilmember Swilling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the courage to be here and to tell your stories. You know, we receive a lot of emails from students in similar situations, and it's different when you read it in an email than when you hear it when you're testifying in your voice and what it means to you and what had happened to you. It's unacceptable to be able to have a university act in this way. You know, yes, we need to find answers. Yes, we need to try to help you transition and go through these challenges and find your space in arts and culture, because Philadelphia is a great arts and culture city, and we need people like you to be in Philadelphia to keep it thriving. And so we need, as a city, also to step up and do the things necessary to find the answers. And finding the answers is not going to solve the problem, right? But what it can do is prevent it from happening again. And this happened to you, and what you're here to do is you're even being selfless in the sense that you don't want it to happen to anybody else. And that's something great that you're doing for the arts and cultures world here in Philadelphia, but it says a lot about your character and what the University of Arts meant to you. You know, we've reached out, we've been talking with Temple, and they have had some challenges getting information from University of the Arts, to say the least. And he mentioned about the illustration program. Temple has now created a degree in illustration that they never had before. And they've been trying to do the best they can, just like some of the other universities. And we all need to step up, though. We all need to know how important this is, and to the students, but also to the faculty and staff. And all of you guys have mentioned how important it was, the faculty and staff at the University of Arts were. You know, when you have an arts and culture institution that is so important to the city of Philadelphia, to be able to say one day it's one of the reasons why you're proud to be in Philadelphia, the next day it's not there, it's unconscionable, right? And we, as our colleagues have said, maybe we as a city need to really not only hold people accountable, but to be on the watch for things like this in the future. We, you know, these institutions that run, they're part of the city of Philadelphia, we partner with them, but they run sort of on their own. And maybe we need to do more work, and we'll work with the administration to see what that is and how that looks, what their bylaws are, what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do. But it's really important from this challenge that we learn from it, and then we make sure that it doesn't happen again. And your testimony today, and I believe I heard from a lot of your roommates, and if you still have challenges with your landlords, and we've been trying to partner with people who are looking for space with people who are leaving, and trying to fill so that maybe they could, you know, sublease their space out. If you want to reach out to my office, we have a bunch of students that are doing both that we're trying to coordinate with, and then also working with the landlord to see if they could discount some costs when people need to leave. But again, this is thrust on us that we want to make sure you know that we as a city care about you. We care what you do, and we're proud of you for being here today, speaking up not only yourself, not only about yourself, but about the future of the culture of the arts in the city of Philadelphia, and that means a lot. So thank you for being here, and we really appreciate your testimony, and continue to reach out, continue to advocate, and continue to hold people accountable until we get answers that we deserve, all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember. We appreciate your remarks. We appreciate your leadership on this issue and really going over and beyond the call of duty as it relates to support the students and faculty who have been dealing with this unfortunate catastrophe. Are there any other questions or comments from members of this committee for this particular panel?
Just wishing them good luck.
They got good.
Thank you.
And Disney World is the best place.
Thank you all. Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate it. Thank you for being here today. Mr. Clerk, can you please call the next panel to testify before this committee today?
Yes, can we please have Jasmine Jang, Quinn Barnell, and Nathan Renner Johnson?
Pig Iron has been in partnership with UART since 2015 to offer a master's in fine arts in devised performance as well as a certificate. We've been making original plays in Philadelphia since 1995, and during our nearly 30 years, we have collaborated with dozens of UART's alums, faculty, and students. None of the founders of Pig Iron are from Philadelphia. We all came here. We made our lives here because this city offered such an arts hub. It has been a great home for us, largely because of the artists that we've encountered and because of UART. And what has been lost is tremendously profound. It has been a hub, a magnet, and a center of the creative life of this city. UART brought people here and kept them here. At no point during our 9 years together did I ever think the university would close its doors without creating some sort of plan to honor the students' enrollment agreement, that they would complete what they started. We just heard the impact. We have 21 current and 14 future first-year students without an easy path to complete their degree that they passionately crave. Our program is unique, and there's no easy teach-out plan, and none have been offered. At no point did I consider that our relationship, Pig Iron and UART, would abruptly come to an end, with UART owing Pig Iron $300,000 for expenses incurred to run the program, a nearly insurmountable amount of money for a company of our size. Imagine yourself as a 27-year-old emerging theater artist with one more semester of your MFA left, or as a 31-year-old international student who had been welcomed to the US and Philadelphia with future global exchanges on your mind, or as a faculty member with 13 years of teaching under your belt at Child College, and the sudden need to find another income stream despite having 25 years of professional artistic experiences under your belt, Pew Fellowship, etc. These are the bright lights that have been greatly dimmed. The stories are as unique as the art that they make. Our field is often uncertain. We sign on to that to some degree, but we don't sign on to board neglect, financial mismanagement, or disregard for the value that we bring to the city. This hearing is a chance to remind you and the city's caretakers that a deep investment in the arts is essential, it is attractive, it brings people here, and with this collapse of UART's, important questions need to and are being asked about how this happened and what can be done to rebuild what has been broken. Your concern, your investigation are crucial, and we hope there is a way to save UART's, preserve this legacy, support these artists, and ensure a vibrant future for the artists and creative life.
Good morning. My name is Jasmine Jang, and I am the Managing Director at Pig Iron Theater Company. You just heard from my colleague, Quinn, about what our organization is facing in the wake of the sudden closure of the University of the Arts, about the 21 students stranded mid-degree and offered no equivalent teach-out options because our graduate program is unlike any other in the region or even any other in the nation, about the $300,000 in reimbursements owed to us by the university that are now delayed indefinitely, about the sudden dissolution of a 9-year partnership that was key to our business model and the fulfillment of our mission to train the next generation of daring performing artists. In spite of Pig Iron's nearly 30-year history of producing world-class art here in Philadelphia, in spite of the outsized impact of the Pig Iron School,
which has produced 140 alumni who have gone on to win OBE awards, receive Pew fellowships, teach at prestigious universities, tour internationally, and even found their own companies here in the city. In spite of the fact that we did nothing wrong, Pig Iron is now facing an existential threat as we work to find a new institutional partner so that we can fulfill our commitments to our students, faculty, staff, and community. These are unique challenges, but Pig Iron is not alone in our concern about the ripple effects this closure is going to have on Philadelphia's creative sector. Already, we have seen brilliant artists and educators, formerly employed by UArts, forced to take their families and their talents out of the city. We have seen potential students, employees, and business partners hesitate to make Philadelphia their destination amidst this instability. We have seen the once bustling avenue of the arts, the heart of Center City, become a ghost town. The arts are key to connecting our communities, making our neighborhoods safer and more vibrant, and driving our workforce and economy. In the greater Philadelphia area, the economic impact of the arts totals $4.1 billion per year, and the return on investment in the arts is high. In fact, each and every arts ticket purchased leads to an average of 50 additional dollars spent into the economy. All of this is in spite of the fact that Pennsylvania ranks number 33 in state arts funding, with only 85 cents spent per capita. For reference, in New York, this funding is well over $5 per capita. On behalf of all of the artists and arts nonprofits impacted by the UArts closure, we urge the city to make sure that this moment is a canary in the coal mine rather than a harbinger of doom. This is our chance to talk about and invest in the future of the arts in Philadelphia. We thank you for your tireless work on this investigation. As you untangle this unprecedented and unconscionable series of events and search for answers, we ask that you keep our vital, one-of-a-kind art scene in the conversation. We ask that you consider increasing dedicated local arts funding to include us in efforts to revitalize and beautify the city, and most pressingly, to ensure that the now vacant UArts buildings are repurposed intentionally and thoughtfully, and not just sold off to the highest bidder. From artist housing to professional performance venues to cultural co-working spaces, the arts community has a number of proposals to make sure that there are still the creative hubs and gathering spaces that are key to the vibrancy of the city. A more detailed list of these proposals has already been shared with Councilmember Squilla and Councilmember Landau. I am regularly blown away by the resilience and the adaptability of artists, by how much we can achieve with very little. I am even more excited, however, by the thought of how much we can achieve with your support. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Nathan Hunter Johnson. I'm the executive director of Philadelphia Scenic Works, which is a nonprofit that works with arts organizations, primarily theater companies like Pig Iron, to produce mission projects that advance their missions. And from within this work, I've seen firsthand how the ecosystem for arts organizations has deteriorated over the years, and how the pandemic drastically exacerbated this deterioration, and how vital the University of the Arts was to supporting arts organizations and the arts ecosystem in Philadelphia. The University of Arts provided a crucial pipeline of artists to the city. It provided reliability for the artists who work there as faculty and staff, so they can live in and around the city while developing art of their own. It provided stability to other art-making organizations like Pig Iron, and it provided venues to create work, rentable studios, performance spaces, and it created a vibrancy around South Broad with 1,500 plus people learning, working, patronizing local businesses. And without the University of the Arts, the city has a really big hole to fill. And to be clear, the arts are really crucial to our city. Arts promote tourism, they bring patrons from their wallets, and from the suburbs and beyond, and these patrons don't just spend money on the arts, they spend money on restaurants, and shopping, and parking, and bars. And the arts activate streets and neighborhoods at off hours, so the performing arts particularly offering year-round events at night that promote public safety and vibrancy. And over the past 40 years, Philadelphia has evolved into a destination city with a wonderful restaurant scene and a leading arts and cultural community to go along with its great recognition for history and sports. And the Wellness Tony Award this year, which is the first of the time in Philadelphia, is just one recent proof point. However, as evidenced by the closure of UArts, we're slipping backwards, not moving forwards. And UArts is just one example. Some of the aforementioned PAPA and its degree granting program. We've lost a lot of our theater company during the pandemic, which is a community asset and a lead producer of musicals, the new musicals. There are many other theater, opera, dance, music organizations that are offering less and less programming year over over here, reducing staff sizes, and struggling to stay alive in this post-pandemic economy. And we now have an opportunity at this moment to decide whether Yards is a tipping point on a downward spiral or an inflection point towards a stronger, more collaborative, sustainable investment in the arts. You know, when your house burns down, you don't just build it back the same, you build it back better and fix the problems. And while we certainly all want clarity and accountability for what happened in the UR's demise, I strongly urge the city to also look forward, to take advantage of the opportunity to be big and bold in imagining how the UR's real estate and other assets can be used to support the arts and to do so in an even stronger way. There are many fantastic ideas on how this real estate can be used to support artists, one of which that I'm going to talk shortly about is a centralized arts hub that can capitalize on collaboration between arts organizations and artists and small businesses using buying power, economies of scale, and shared resources. This hub could have shared spaces such as work studios, rehearsal halls, performance studios, film studios, music studios. We can have shared support services such as back-end office management, marketing, graphic design resources, metal wood paint shops, costume shops. And we can reduce material in financial ways through shared material libraries such as raw, crafting building materials that are used by fine arts and rental items, props, scenery, costumes, which we use by film, photography, theater, music, opera, ballet. I know this might seem like a lot of different ideas, but the crux is the way in which these are all incorporated and collaborate together. For example, the reuse of materials works so much better in a hub where people are, because there's built-in inputs and outputs to materials. Arts organizations who use support services can easily pull from materials libraries, and when done with the project, they can put them back into the library for other organizations to use. Less shopping around, less buying off Amazon.com, sending money out of the city, less waste at the end. A hub is also ideal for educational purposes because students have the opportunity to work on lots of different projects for lots of different arts organizations all over the city collaborating in one space. And there are already organizations that do this kind of work on partial or smaller scales, that have skills or infrastructure that are able to scale. Obviously, my organization, Philadelphia Theater Works, is collaborating with dozens of other theater companies and arts organizations to provide services around the year-round, resources, workspace, while simultaneously offering training and education. But there are other organizations, Resource Exchange and RARE, are two fantastic organizations offering two different models on how to reuse materials that enable artists to reuse old materials and divert waste from the landfill. Interact Theater Company around the corner is hosting many different performance spaces in their performance companies in their workspace each year. And efforts like these contribute to Philadelphia's economy by attracting artists and tourists, creating jobs, promoting public safety, and positioning the city as a leader in sustainable arts practices. But it's only on a small scale. And with strategic partnerships, collaboration, and investment amongst organizations and with the city, the UArts closure, I think, can be a point to be morphed into a real asset for the city, not to just continue what was already there, but to build upon that, improve upon that. The skills and mission, passion all exist, and we see the partnership and the vision of the city leadership to make it happen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your testimony. If there are any further questions from the committee, seeing there is a question from Council Member Martin Squilla.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nathan, I can say you spoke fast. and I really pay attention and thank God we had it right. But I like the ideas. Every challenge brings an opportunity, right? And it's hard to see an opportunity in University of the Arts closing. But I think we, as a city, and with all our brilliant people that we have here, have to look at what opportunities do we have to not only solve this problem, but then to try to grow the culture of the arts in these buildings, in the institutions, how to repurpose them or use them for student learning. You know, and there's a lot of conversations going on. There's a lot of people here that couldn't come testify today because there's still ongoing conversations and there's, you know, investigations and things that are happening that they can't really speak about. But they need to hear these things too, right? They need to hear, you know, what opportunities do we see? So when we're putting these plans together to incorporate these type of things into that plan, where if we're going to reuse these buildings, to me, these buildings always have to be University of Arts buildings, no matter if it's a merger with anybody, whoever there, it still has to be, to me, we have to remember University of Arts. It has to be part of the arts cultural hub in the city of Philadelphia. So whatever plan we come up with at the end needs to include that. But I think repurposing it, seeing what we could use it for, what other opportunities we have, is an important reason why to have this here. Right, because if we just sit here and just talk about what happened, and then we find out what happened, but we're not solving it for the future or reusing it for what the purpose and what the mission was for the University of Arts, right? We have to keep that mission alive.
And we have to make sure the institutions, like we said, with Temple creating new degrees for those things. Again, it's not the University of Arts, but who knows, maybe it'll call Temple University at University of Arts or something, or whoever, whatever color organization is merging here. But they have to be willing to give up something, right? Like, this is not just a monetary, you know, a commitment from Temple, right? And you receive students, and so you're getting more tuition. But it has to be, if it's Drexel, some of the other universities that we're talking with, if they're coming in and saying that this is also, we don't need to make a profit on this, this is something that's an institution here in the city of Philadelphia. It's a brand, it's a name, and it's really something we need to build. So hearing from you guys today is really important for us, and also to share with all these negotiations that are going on, and making sure that we, as a city, whatever those final agreements are, could weigh in and say, yes, that they have to be used for these purposes. They have to be part of the University of Arts legacy that we so was so important to us here in Philadelphia. So I think, I really want to thank you for testifying. I want to thank you for giving some additional ideas. And feel free, you and your friends and your networks, anybody else you know have other ideas, other ways to merge these organizations, other ways to merge universities, other ways to, from what I'm hearing too from the students, there's universities that have our programs, but not what the University of Arts have, right? How can we incorporate whoever that merger is, how can we incorporate that into that new program, whatever it looks like, right? And how can we add these features to whatever happens in the future? So I, you know, again, keep up the great work, keep sending emails and coming up with ideas of what we could do and how we could make the city whole again after this debacle. But I just think that with your talents, your ideas, it'll help us as a city help the final decision-making process as this plays out. And hopefully it gets to a place where we can say, you know what, this was devastating, but something did good come out of this, and the legacy of the University of Arts will still be here forever. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Scuola. Are there any new questions from members of the committee for this panel? The chair recognizes Councilwoman Nina Amaha.
Thank you so much for your creative perspectives on how to rise from the ashes. I don't know if there is one already. Is there a task force already constructed around this, which would have feedback from people like you, people like your own students, and with other institutions to not only the, not just with accountability and to know what happened, but going forward, maybe with our office, I don't know, Val's office is called, we just testified, to including the bigger sort of membership nonprofit that, you know, sort of the alliance. I think this sort of behooves us to have that kind of a perspective to vet out best practices, ideas, because that the other important thing is the property, is what's going to happen with that, and that keeping an eye on that is really important. So I would highly recommend that we could talk later offline about what that creative panel can, a task force can look like, and who participates, and how we have everybody's voice there, but really to come out with action items, right? Too. It's great we are all talking, and we do a lot of this in council, but having outcomes from this is going to be critical, because as many of you and people before mentioned, it is driving our economy. We are already in the hole for many things. So if you have no humanitarian interest in this, one should have an economic interest in this and look at that intersection. So I look forward to maybe we can talk and see how something can come out of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Nina Ahmad. Are there any other questions or comments from members of the committee for this panel? Thank you. Seeing none, Mr. McNagle, thank you so much for your commentary today. Appreciate you all. Seeing that there's no more questions for this panel, Mr. McNagle, will you please call the fifth panel that we have to testify on resolution number 24601?
Resolution 24601.
Can we please have Mark Campbell, Christina Vitani, and Bradley Filber?
Thank you so much for being here today. Can you please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony? Beginning with the first person who's called.
My name is Mark Campbell, and I'm a former faculty member, program director, school director, and college dean at the University of the Arts.
Christina Matei, and I am former faculty at UARTS.
And I'm Bradley Gilbert. I'm a former IMA professor and the executive vice president of the United Academics of Philadelphia.
Thank you.
I was at the University of the Arts from 1996 to 2023, and I was also on the search committee for 2015 that concluded the hiring of former president David Yeager. I wanted to come here today to speak, to join with others in strongly advocating for the discovery process and full disclosure of the circumstances surrounding the closing of UARTS, a process directed especially toward the apparent abdication of the fiduciary responsibilities of the senior leadership and the board. I make this plea to our public representatives and to the community generally. I consider full disclosure to be our collective ethical responsibility, and I ask all persons involved to support the discovery process. This includes members of the UARTS board, such as it remains, as well as any legal entity representing the university during the transition period, and here are my reasons why. As others have stated, the long history of UARTS, its place in the cultural life of Philadelphia, and its cultural heritage, stand as self-evident reason to seek a full accounting. Add to this the sudden nature of the closing, something that has drawn national and even international attention. Imagine the impact on students, staff, and faculty hearing of the immediate closure on a Friday night on the last day of May. It was like a catastrophic act of nature, an earthquake where suddenly everything has changed. Given this, we owe all who have been severely affected a rigorous discovery process. And as personal stories tell it best, I would like to tell you that my wife, Laura Frazier, a member of the union bargaining team, had just received her hard-won promotion to associate professor at UARTS weeks before the announced closing. As we know, these processes are years in the making, with many, many responsibilities required of faculty who are standing for promotion. Laura also, Laura's also received the President's Award for Distinguished Teaching, given her commitment to her students. And this was announced at the last UARTS commencement, which turned out to be the last UARTS commencement. Imagine the relief and joyous sense of accomplishment contrasted with where we are now. There are other compelling reasons for what I'm asking. In order to fully consider senior leadership's abdication of fiduciary responsibility, we need to take a hard look at the previous administration. So I'm looking past President Kerry Walk, who served for 9 months, to former President David Yeager, who served for 90, through June of 2023. Does anyone doubt at this point that during those 90 months, there was an elaborate shell game being played with university finances, all at the service of costly, self-aggrandizing capital projects intended to support the narrative that David Yeager was a successful president? No one can argue with capital improvements unless it means diverting money away from other critically important concerns like financial solvency. But few knew at the time that the university president was playing a high-stakes, high-risk gamble with UARTS' future. At the breakfast on the morning of this year's commencement, a senior staff member sidled up to me and said, "Davis put us in a really bad place financially, and I didn't know about it. I didn't know about the real cost of the capital projects, and I have emails to prove it." I can add this claim to my own experience as, and those of many others, as a lack of transparency was a hallmark of the Yeager presidency. After all, transparency requires trust, respect, and a communitarian sense of collaboration. Given the radically centralized form of governance during Yeager's administration, the former president made all decisions, at least for those concerns he knew of, from major financial decisions down to what tiles to be used in the Hamilton Home bathroom renovations. What follows is that former President Yeager would or should have known of the true state of university finances. The absolute lack of transparency kept most others from knowing. It goes even further than that. Apart from concealment, there was a counterfactual narrative propagated, externally and internally, of unprecedented financial solidity and fundraising success. Just pull out your phones and search for the $25 million gift to UArts, or the $67.2 million capital campaign that concluded in fiscal terms just recently. The two are related. In both cases, information was apparently manipulated to create the impression that the money was real and in the coffers, and that the president should be credited even for a gift committed in 2007, 8 years before he arrived at UArts. This branding of success, not to be confused with successful branding, might have cleared the way for significant raises to senior staff and the university's top earners during the difficult COVID years, including and especially former President Yeager and the VP for Finance. Check out the ProPublica posting for the disturbing details. It is clear that the propagation of this counterfactual narrative greatly increased the severity of the closing's impact on all concerns. If these claims are true, in whole or part, then the former president, with a few on the board and in senior staff, its gang of four, prioritized the false narrative of presidential success over the actual state of university affairs. A fair accounting, as stated, is an ethical concern. And in legal terms, it is how we choose to engage with one another. It could also have a material effect, as all employees should receive compensation, not only for work completed, but given the contractual agreements and certainly the counterfactual manipulations, all should rightly receive their due severance as each person attempts to imagine and build their new future, suddenly and in the immediate moment. From a personal perspective, I grew up in Mayfair and went to Lincoln High because they had a vocational art track. I don't mind telling you that my mother was the senior class president at St. Hubert's during World War II. I've lived most of my life in Philadelphia. I was married in City Hall, and my heart belongs to the city. I am also a UArts alum. I clearly remember, after taking the mark at Frankfurt Hill, walking down Broad Street, going to my portfolio review as an 18-year-old. My auto painting was still wet. Of course, I wanted to be cool, so I glanced at my reflection in a storefront window to check it all out. I thought I looked about 10 years old, but what can you do? What I remember most clearly was then asking myself a question as I walked on. I wonder what will happen to me. What did happen, as it did to so many others, was a transformative experience, something well beyond an 18-year-old's expectations. So I want to say finally that my heart belongs to UArts as well, and to the many people, including teachers, students, friends and colleagues, past and present, who made that vital world. Thank you.
Where I was a music producer, professional,
curated studio at Max Sennett Studios. I was a Recording Academy voting member for the Grammys. I spoke on panels for women in music at the studios. I performed solo works with orchestras, debuted works in Central Park, and I have traveled around the globe making work. I left Los Angeles 1 year ago. I spent my entire savings as a single mother, providing fully on my own, to teach at University of the Arts, to work with this very prestigious, respected university. The staff was so devastated. They were dedicated at the time to shift gears into advanced music production and art education. I was honored to be there. There is nothing like the heart of Philadelphia and the art and music scene here. The staff was 150% dedicated. I was working with the Dean Kevin Hayden, Don Fay, and the director Michael Johnson, who brought me here to help create an innovative future development that aligned with current trajectories in music, art, and business that no other university had. No other university had such innovative thoughts on interdisciplinary work and where the commercial world was going. I've lived in London, I've lived in New York, I've lived in Los Angeles. I'm really respected in what I do. I teach part-time at Berkeley. Nothing exists like the University of the Arts. I've uprooted my entire life and my son, who's right there as a single mother, to live here and build here because of this city and the heart of this city. I worked countless free hours preparing programming for the 2024 and 2025 school year for the university to shut down. This has greatly affected my son, who's with me today because I can't afford childcare for this summer. I am sleeping on my couch as a grown woman and renting a room in the apartment that I live in now in Philadelphia to cover rent and make sure food is on the table. This abrupt closure is real. I spent my whole savings to move here for this university. I have former students that are coming over to work with me on solo work because they don't have any resources. I'm the one with the studio in my home that I'm currently sleeping in. Because the school is now closed, they are broken, they are depressed, they are lost in what to do, and I've opened my doors to them. It's the best that I can give. In history books, there are two things that are remembered: war and art. Look in this building. Look at the intricacies on here, everywhere. It's art. Can you imagine this being gone? The founding artistic historical culture that has put Philadelphia on the map is gone. There was no place like UArts with such drive and passion and talent. It needs to be preserved, respected, and brought back to Philadelphia. The legacy it has provided for the city, the people of the city, the art communities, the school, the nonprofits, the educators, it's essential. There's a very real devastation financially happening right now. I'm hearing lots of long-term perspectives of how to do better, but I am not hearing anything about the devastation that we are experiencing now, literally the food on our plate, and the amount of teachers that are out of work and like, where to go, what to do, no funding, because all the grants that we were going to be applying for were partners with the University of Arts. That's why we were here building our work as a community together. In Europe, they consider artists professors like surgeons. They are respected like PhD surgeons. We are surgeons of the soul. And you just took that from Philadelphia. Where did that go? This is unjust. We deserve justice. The artists, the city, the teachers, the families affected. We need justice now. We need help now.
Good morning. For about 5 more minutes. My name is Bradley Gilbert, and I'm a former UART adjunct professor and the executive vice president of the United Academics of Philadelphia. UAP is a metro-wide AFT local that's worked since 2013 to unify and support over 15,000 higher ed workers in the Philly area, including in 2 chapters at UARTs. Our UARTs faculty chapter formed in 2020 and won a first contract after 3 years of negotiations. Our staff chapter colleagues were still bargaining when UARTs closed. Throughout, these negotiations were defined by failures of transparency from UART's administrators. Just this November, then-President Kerry Wall compared the risks of transparency in our negotiations to the kind of panic that instigates a bank run. She spoke of the university's hidden structural deficit, which, to address, would require boosting enrollment and fundraising. By April, it was clear that first-year enrollments exceeded expectations and that the last fundraising campaign had surpassed goals by $17 million. Nevertheless, 2 months later, 700 of my colleagues and I were laid off in a 7-minute Zoom webinar. Our collective bargaining agreement contains provisions on financial crisis, layoffs, and severance, as well as rights in any merger or acquisition of the school or its programs. As a union, we are using every means available to us to account for the university's refusal to meaningfully bargain following the closure. A cabal of high-level administrators created this catastrophe over months and years. They now rely on silence and obfuscation to escape justice, but they must be held accountable. We know concerns about structural financial problems extend back to last fall at least. We are aware of liens and financial agreements affecting the school's assets, but we need a complete picture of the university's finances and how they got in such a precarious state to help workers get what they are legally owed. We've received no notice today of any bankruptcy filings. We ask the council for help in furnishing this information by exercising its oversight authority of the Philadelphia Authority for Industrial Development, which issues bonds on behalf of UARTs. We also ask the council to subpoena key current and former advisors, administrators, to compel their cooperation. Former Presidents David Yeager and Kerry Wall, former Finance Vice President Stephen Lightcap, and current Board Chair Judson Aaron have avoided public scrutiny long. We are united as a union to fight for justice. We need the council's aid in getting the answers that will help us win that fight. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Are there any questions or comments from members of the committee? I want to recognize Councilman Marzuela.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the part of the, I guess, the investigation part of what's going on, has this information been shared with the Attorney General?
Yes.
It has.
Information to the Attorney General, the information is in public filings. The information has also been helpfully put together in a piece by David Merrill at Philly Magazine.
Mark, I mean, you had some information, too, you said about previous president, was that information also shared with the Attorney General?
I'm not sure. It is being covered in today's article as well, by David Merrill.
Okay. All right, because that is an ongoing process, and yes, unfortunately, with our hearing, when we first wrote the resolution, we have to state that we would subpoena folks in the resolution, and we didn't do that at that time. So when we did reach out to folks to testify,
they weren't compelled by subpoena in order to be here, so that's why some of them weren't here. Some of them would not testify anyway because of ongoing negotiations and lawsuits. So if they did testify, they would say that we're not able to say anything during the current litigation process. But this hearing is, when this hearing is over, doesn't mean we're done. So, you know, we will hopefully, at the end of this call, have the hearings left to the chair so that we could reconvene again and more information we get as the investigation continues. And that knowing that the challenges that you face, all of you, are being heard, and we do also want answers. And it has been silent and it has been quiet. And when we ask questions, there are no answers, right? So when the investigation, when we asked, so when we talked to the Attorney General's office, some of these other parties, there's only so much they can tell us, too, even though we're the elected officials. So knowing that we're going to keep pressuring this for accountability purposes, but we're also going to say, you know, where do we go from here? How do we, first of all, protect this from ever happening again? How do we recreate somehow the University of New York's book? How do we reimagine it? How do we do that? How do we have programs like your program, Christina? Is that something, if there was a new merger of sorts or new organization came in and took over and kept the University of New York's name, is that something that you would still like to create and keep this?
Yeah.